consider the Word of God and the teaching of the church in regards to the Word of God. Lord's Day 43 in the back of your Psaltery hymnal. I invite you to turn to that with me if you like, if you will. Page 914 in the back of your Psaltery hymnal as we consider what the Heidelberg Catechism has to say about the Ninth Commandment. There's one question and answer there. I'll read the question. Let's all together respond with the answer. Page 914. And then we turn to the Word of God. I'll just reading the commandment again from Exodus 20. But then we'll also be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's page 1797 in your pew Bible. But first of all, Lord's Day 43. The Catechism asks, what is God's will for you in the Ninth Commandment? God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it, and I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. So far the teachings of the Heidelberg Catechism. And then we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. That's page 1797, I understand, in your pew Bible. And as you turn to that passage, I'll just read again the Ninth Commandment. The Ninth Commandment is, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And then from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, there we read, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Whether we have renounced secret and shameful ways, we do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. You put up the first slide. Dear congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what the Ninth Commandment, what it forbids is lying, taking the truth and twisting it all around so that we can deceive others into believing something else. What it forbids is giving false information in order to hurt somebody else. What the Ninth Commandment forbids is deception. I should point out that the words, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, that language, that's technically courtroom language. If you're on the stand in court as a witness, then don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Court is the most obvious place to break the Ninth Commandment. But you understand that by forbidding such sins in court, it forbids any and all forms of deception as well. Deception. There's a lot of that going on these days, isn't there? Actually, it's been going on since the beginning of human history. You think of Jesus Christ and why he finally went to the cross. Why did he go there? Basically, it's because a whole pile of people came forward to slander Jesus, twist his words, and outright lie about him when Jesus was in court before Pontius Pilate. And now, why has human history been plagued with such deception, falsehood, and lying? Basically, it's because of the kingdom of darkness that's in our world. If you think about who Satan actually is, who is Satan? According to the Bible, Satan himself is a big deceiver and a great big liar. I think of what Jesus says about the devil in John 8, verse 44. Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Satan's lying character is evidenced in the first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, Satan comes to Eve and says, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Twist. And so Eve says, "Well, no, we just can't eat from the one tree in the middle. We eat from that one and we will surely die." To which Satan replies, "You will not surely die." Twist, if not snap. Total lie. That's what Satan gives there. Well, Eve, she listened to Satan, and we have been dying ever since. Satan, you see, is a big, fat liar. And I guess it has to be said that in fleeing Satan, in fleeing sin, we also flee then deception. And also, we also flee falsehood. All stuff that perfectly reflects the kingdom of darkness and what it's all about. That is why the Lord so graciously gives to us, for His glory and for our own good, the ninth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Congregation, three things I want to say about the ninth commandment today. First, I want to say something about how we apply the ninth commandment to our relationship to our neighbor. Second, I want to say something about how we apply the ninth commandment to the church, to the preaching of the gospel. And third, I want to say something about how we apply the ninth commandment to ourselves. These are the things I want to talk about this morning. How we apply the ninth commandment to our neighbor, secondly to the church, and thirdly to ourselves. Next slide. And so the first thing I want to note about the ninth commandment then is how we ought to apply it to our relationship to our neighbor. Congregation, it's pretty clear that the ninth commandment has a concern for how we deal with our neighbor. I mean, just the fact that the ninth commandment is in the second table of the law is clear enough. You remember what the second table, the last sixth commandment, concerned. Sure, how to deal with our neighbor. But I'd like to add that even the wording of the ninth commandment itself showed that it has a peculiar concern for our neighbor, for the person next door. How does the law go? Yeah, sure, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Clear enough. And by saying "against your neighbor" in the way that it does, I believe the Lord is telling us something about how we must deal with the truth. We do not uphold the truth and tell the truth just for truth's sake. No, but for our neighbor's sake. Truth must be used to uplift, to protect, and to encourage our neighbor. Sometimes it can happen that absolute truth can undermine that. I think of those people in Europe during the Second World War who hid some Jews in their homes. Maybe you know of relatives or friends from the Netherlands who said to the Nazis who came searching, "Sorry, my friends, I never saw any Jews around here." In a sense, they were lying, but in another sense, they remained obedient to the ninth commandment because they didn't want to do something against their neighbor. There are examples of this too in the Bible. People lied, and God not only condoned it, He even rewarded it. Think of the midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, in Exodus chapter 1. Pharaoh told these two women to kill all the male children born of the Hebrew women. They didn't do it. And when Pharaoh asked why they didn't, they said, oh, sorry, Pharaoh, every time those Hebrew women have babies, we just don't get there in time. That was not the truth. But Exodus says, God blessed them. Rahab, in Joshua chapter 2, she lied to her fellow citizens of Jericho when she said that the Israelite spies were not with her, even though she hid them herself under the stalks of flax on her roof. Why did God reward their lying? Because they weighed their words in the light of the lies that hung in the balance. The sin would have been to tell the truth for truth's sake and to have one's neighbor murdered as a result. Now, sometimes it's difficult to figure out how much of the truth should be hidden or how much of the truth should be revealed in order to protect or to enhance one's neighbor. No doubt it takes some Christian experience. It takes some Christian maturity to decipher how the ninth commandment should be applied to all the complex areas of life. But I hope we appreciate what the Lord clearly does not want. He does not want us to make up stories or to tell lies or to twist the truth in order to hurt our neighbor. That much is very clear. Brothers and sisters, is that something you do? Do you observe the ninth commandment? Do you bear false witness against your neighbor? You know, I would say that because of our sinful nature, that's something we can all fall into very, very easily. Especially when that person we dislike maybe is not around. We can do so, we can so quickly slander, we can so quickly gossip, we can so quickly tear down our neighbor's name. And sometimes we do so only to build ourselves up. No small matter, this ninth commandment. Know that what God forbids here is one of the Ten Commandments. This is no insignificant little law from Leviticus or something, no. Bearing false witness, slander and gossip is on par with committing adultery, stealing, and murder. They're all wrong. May we remember God's law, which we heard even this morning. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We move on to consider the second thing I want to point out about the ninth commandment. Next slide. I want to say something about how we apply the ninth commandment to the church. Now, maybe at this point you're kind of wondering what exactly I'm going to get at here, what exactly my point will be. Well, really, my point is quite simple. You and I, we are part of the church. The church of the living God. We are a people who claim to be set apart as God's people, which makes us very, very unique. We are a unique group in the world. And you know what makes us so unique in light of the ninth commandment? It's the fact that you and I, we are witnesses. Notice the wording of the commandment. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Witnesses. That's what we are. That's right. We are witnesses to the grace of God and His lordship in our lives. And so when the Lord says to His people, O church, obey the ninth commandment, what He's saying is, O church, do not bear false witness to your God and to your Savior, to the Lord Jesus Christ. In a very real way, then, the ninth commandment has something very important and direct to say to the church. To us, the commandment is saying, do not bear false witness to the power and to the grace of God. How can that be done? How can we bear false witness to His power and to His grace? Well, it can be done in a number of different ways. In our lifestyle, for number one, if we witness for Jesus, and we say to others, yes, I'm a Christian, and I believe in Jesus, but then we deliberately sin, and we steal from our neighbor, and we curse and we swear and we get drunk or we slander, then we're sending others a very, very wrong message, a very distorted message about the grace of God and how it works. God's grace inside of us does not lead us to sin. No, God's grace at work inside of us leads us to run from sin, to flee from it. And if that's not happening, and yet we claim to be Christians, and we even evangelize, we tell others about Jesus, then we are misrepresenting the truth. More, we are misrepresenting Christ Himself. We are being false witnesses to Him and to His gospel. The church can also misrepresent Jesus Christ and His gospel when the church fails to do her most important calling faithfully. And what is that? To preach the full counsel of God. When the church fails to explain the whole message of God, that we are all sinners, and how we can be saved from our sin, and how we can serve our God, if we avoid any of this, we are in danger of bearing false witness. This happens in the church today, in our culture. Churches, in their noble desire to see their churches grow, they preach everything except that which might offend or maybe turn people away. They preach about God, His love. They preach about salvation. They talk about Jesus, how He died on the cross. But then they say little or nothing about the context in which God gives us that salvation. The context of our brokenness and of our need and of God's command to us to change our ways, our call to repentance and faith. Stepping aside these important truths, the church is in danger of distorting, of twisting the truth of the Word of God. It's noteworthy that the Apostle Paul, he was confronted with this exact problem in our scripture reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In the Corinthian church, there was some people who were very, very much opposed to Paul's gospel. Their concern? That his message would offend people and turn them away. Such concerned people, they even tried to discredit Paul's authority as an apostle. And what they landed up doing was monkeying around with the gospel itself. They twisted it around and they deceived people, all in order that their gospel might make people come into their church. As long as they come, that's fine, whatever it takes. Paul, he reacted to this. That's why he wrote his letter to the Corinthian church. Defending his own authority as an apostle, he told the Corinthian church, "We have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." You see Paul's concern. He did not want the church to bear false witness. And his point was that the only way the church can really blossom and really find blessing is if the people who enter the church, who join the church, and who stay in the church are clear, they clearly understand the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if people don't want that gospel, the problem is not with the gospel. No, the problem is within ourselves. Because we are deceived by our own blindness. Says Paul in verse 4, "The god of this age, Satan, he has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel." So what is God's message to the church today via the ninth commandment? That we not bear false witness to Him and to His gospel in our lifestyles, but also in our preaching, which leads me to my third and final point. Next slide. So far, we noted how we should apply the ninth commandment to our relationship to our neighbor. We then secondly talked about how we relate to the church. And what I want to do now is note how we should apply the ninth commandment to ourselves. When I was in seminary, I took a course, an elective, on the Ten Commandments. It was in that course that my professor, Dr. Calvin Van Rieken, he revealed a very interesting truth in regards to the ninth commandment. He said that when it comes to bearing false witness, the ones we probably bear false witness to the most is ourselves. And you know what? I think my professor is completely right. How very, very easy it is to lie to ourselves, to deceive ourselves. We note a certain sin in our own lives and we say, yeah, I know, but it's not such a big deal. It's a small thing, really. Is it? Are you being truthful to yourself? You know, it's very interesting that we can be so bent out of shape with other people's sins and shortcomings. Well, Bobby's got an obvious drinking problem, and Mary, she's too interested in her looks, and Peter, he's so materialistic, and Jane, she's got a better-than-thou attitude, whatever. We get so upset about other people's sins, and we gossip about them. Well, what sins do you have that make people upset with you? What, you don't have any? You've got none? Are your shortcomings that small? Really? My point is, we ought to be very truthful and very realistic about the sins and the shortcomings that we have, and not deceive ourselves into thinking that they are smaller than what they really are. Now, of course, some people can deceive themselves in the opposite way. That can happen too. All they see is own shortcomings, all they see is their sins, and they conclude that everyone must be much better than they are, and all they are themselves is nobody's. That can be a form of self-deception too. So you see, that's why we gather for worship and for fellowship, and that's why we go to church most of all. It's to hear the preaching of the word. For it's through the proclamation of the word that we do away with deception. And we learn to see who we really are. We recognize our true selves by setting forth the truth plainly, as Paul says in our text. The word of God opens us up to see where deception might be going on in our very own lives. So let's reacquaint ourselves with who we really are. Who are we? In and of ourselves, outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, in and of ourselves, we're sinners. All of us. Each and every one, every last one of us, we're all people in need of grace. We're all people who have fallen short of the glory of God. But we become righteous and we become friends of God when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we call on His name and we follow Him in repentance and faith. Last slide. Congregation, it's important that we check ourselves to see in what way deception plays a role in our lives. Maybe you're that person who is deceiving himself into thinking that you are the lowest form of human life on this planet today. Well, if you are a believer, if you are a believing child of God who is saved by God's grace through faith, you're not the lowest form of life on this planet. You're not. In faith, Be assured that the Lord forgives all of your past and that He loves you. Be assured that in Christ, God does not see you as you might see yourself. In grace, by grace and faith, God sees you as His child and He loves you. Now, or maybe you're that person who is misleading others by bearing false witness against your neighbor. If that's you, then God is telling you today to stop it. Stop it. Stop such sin. Do not deceive yourself into thinking that God does not take your sin lightly, because He does. Or maybe you're that person who is deceived into thinking that you are the finest person in the world, your heart is perfect, you've got no sins at all, your soul is fine, you have no need for fixing. Maybe that's what you think. And yet, you know nothing of the salvation that God has made known to the world. Don't be deceived. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we all need to do. We turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, and therefore He is the life. Repent and believe and find life and truth in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, when we live on our own strength and we see that this commandment also condemns us, we all break it in one way or another. And so, Father, we thank You for the truth of the gospel this morning, that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then our sins are washed away. And we pray, Father, that this commandment may then be a guideline of thanksgiving for our lives. We pray, Father, that we may not bear false witness against our neighbor, but that we may build up our neighbor's good name. We pray, Father, that the church may be a true light and a salt in our world. May we be so careful with how we handle the truth so that others may come to Christ. And we pray, Father, that you apply this commandment to our own hearts so that we don't deceive ourselves in one way or another. We pray, Father, that we may hear the gospel, that when we repent and believe, then we are right with You and there's no other way. Father, apply Your word to our hearts. Bless communion as we also participate in that this morning. May that encourage us in the truth. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.